Next, we bring you a transatlantic discussion. Dr. Mark Rosenfield is a professor of vision sciences at the State University of New York College of Optometry, where his research explores the visual demands made by the use of computers and digital electronics. Here, Mark talks to David Cartwright about how these demands are changing as technology develops and our dependence on digital devices increases. Originally termed computer vision syndrome and more recently digital eye strain, Mark and David consider how these symptoms present and how optometrists can provide guidance to patients. The viewing distance for screens is decreasing with the development of wearable technology, most notably Google Glass and Epson smart glasses. Looking to the future of these technological advances, we consider the possible uses and implications for users of this type of wearable device.
Mark, welcome to Optometric Quarterly. You're in New York now. It seems a long time from your days in Aston. Where's your research taken you?
Well, thank you, and it's a pleasure to link up with the UK again, and thank you for inviting me. My present main area of research is in the field of what's known as computer vision syndrome, also sometimes referred to as digital eye strain, which, by the way, is probably a better term now. And that refers to the symptoms that patients are experiencing when they're viewing digital electronic screens for a sustained period of time. Our research has shown that a lot of patients are experiencing various levels of discomfort for quite extended periods while they're looking at these screens. And obviously, with the technology that's out there right now, people are spending many, many hours a day looking at digital screens for extended periods of time.
And how would digital eye strain present to an optometrist in everyday practice?
The most common symptoms that we found are either symptoms of eye strain or tired eyes. Patients will report their eyes feel tired when they've been looking at an electronic screen. And dry eye is a particular problem. Dry eye is a huge problem anyway, but it seems to be exacerbated by these screens. And so patients who have a tendency to have a dry eye in any case seem to be having much higher rates of dry eye when they've been viewing these screens. The prevalence seems very high. In a study that we did, 40% of office workers were reporting significant amounts of digital eye strain. And a recent study by the American Optometric Association on teenagers found 80% of teenagers were reporting some degrees of symptoms after viewing screens. And given that especially teenagers and young people in general are looking at these screens for very long periods of time, this is something that optometrists need to be aware of and are probably going to need to spend some time dealing with.
Is there anything within the visual task of using the computer that causes these problems above, for instance, reading a book?
I don't like the word computer in there because devices that people are looking at nowadays, such as smartphones and tablets, of course they are computers, but I don't think the public necessarily think of their smartphone as being a computer. So that in a way is why I prefer the term digital eye strain, because they may not consider these devices as computers, whereas they do appreciate they're looking at digital screens. In terms of what it is that's causing the symptoms, that, of course, is the big question that our research is trying to get at. What we're finding is that symptoms are significantly increased compared with viewing the same material on paper. But exactly what it is that's causing this difference in symptoms, that's what we're not sure of right now. What we have found, though, is that people, especially with handheld devices, seem to hold them at very close or closer working distances than they would looking at paper, and they're looking at smaller fonts. So that, of course, means there's greater demand on accommodation and convergence because of the closer viewing distances, and the small fonts make the task more demanding as well.
With that knowledge, has that led you to identify any possible solutions to these problems?
Well, the obvious solutions, of course, is to hold the device a little further away and to make the print larger. Something else that we're looking at is the gaze angles that people are looking at again. And one of the problems, it sounds very simple and very obvious, but their refractive correction, their glasses, may just be wrong for the distances that they're viewing or for the gaze angles. For example, a bifocal or a progressive addition lens may just be the wrong lens for the gaze angle and viewing distance that they're actually using the device at. So very simple, but in terms of the case history, the optometrist has to consider exactly where the patient is using the device, how far away it is, what gaze angle it is. And it's not simply a question of a single computer, but it may be multiple screens at different distances that the optometrist has to consider.
You also mentioned, Mark, dry eye was a significant problem with these patients. Again, is there any obvious reason for that?
The one thing that we found is that the pattern of blinking seems to be different when viewing digital screens. The literature in the past has reported that the blink rates go down when they're viewing computer screens, but that seems to be more related to the specific task that they're doing rather than the screen itself. What we have found, though, is that there seems to be a higher rate of incomplete blinks where the upper lid comes down but doesn't fully cover the cornea with computers. And we're trying to figure out exactly what it is about the screen and the device and the position of the device that is leading to this high rate of incomplete blinking. That certainly could increase the symptoms of dry eye in a patient who is susceptible to dry eye issues in the first place.
So new technology, in this case, perhaps is causing some digital eye strain, some dry eye. There is also, of course, more technology coming along, and I'm thinking of a Google Glass, which many people will have heard of but don't actually really know what it is. And I wondered if, firstly, you could describe what Google Glass is.
Yes, Google Glass is somewhat similar to a head-up display that has been used in the past in military and is now available in some motor vehicles where the information is projected into space in front of you. Google Glass is a rather strange-looking device that is attached to the spectacle lens, so it's only in front of one lens. And so the image that would normally be seen on your smartphone or on your computer screen is projected in space, but only in front of one eye. So that way the subject is seeing two images with the digital image superimposed on what they would be seeing in the natural scene.
That sounds all very futuristic. I imagine, again, it has the potential to cause some visual problems.
Oh, yes. The fact that the image is only seen by one eye can be a problem because now you have binocular rivalry and in some cases visual interference as well because the images being seen by the two eyes are very different. And so it has been reported anecdotally that a lot of patients seem to get headaches when they first start using the device. And that's not to mention the obvious issue of distraction as well. Certainly, I would strongly recommend that this device not be used when somebody is, for example, driving or operating machinery because of the risk of distraction.
Do you feel there will be groups of patients for whom this is simply not suitable?
Oh, yes. I think there'll be a lot of patients who have binocular vision issues where presenting very different images to the two eyes will cause significant problems. Another issue with the Google Glass is the fact that the image is projected up and to the right, and that's not a gaze angle that we use very much. And so a lot of patients will find this distracting and uncomfortable to look at, and they may find that they just will never get used to the device. Certainly, I would recommend anybody who's thinking of trying one of these that they should have a significant training period or adaption period. So they should expect to just use it for a brief time initially and take their time as they get used to it before, for example, going outside and walking around while they're using this device.
Google Glass certainly sounds very interesting, and I'm sure it'll be put to a lot of very innovative uses. Would it have any applications in the healthcare field?
Yes, it may do. There is some research that has suggested that for patients with Parkinson's disease, the device could be useful to monitor head and eye movements in these patients. It also has the advantage for disabled individuals where a hands-free device may be very valuable for them. And there has been suggestion as well that it could be used for facial recognition in visually impaired patients, so they could get significant benefit from the device.
From the visual task analysis and knowing what people are using, are there any obvious things that an optometrist could suggest to their patient?
Yes, I think it's very important that optometrists talk to patients about working distances and about the size of the font they're looking at. We recommend that a minimum working distance should be 40 centimeters and that patients are shown exactly where that is so that they're not holding the device any closer than that. font size is important, and it may be purely coincidence, but it's an advantage that a lot of the handheld devices seem to be getting larger. Certainly the most recent iPhone 6 that just came out has a larger screen. And so that should be more useful for the patient because they can now have a larger font, which should be more comfortable for them to look at. The other thing that I think is very important for optometrists to talk to the patients about is taking breaks and not looking at these screens for extended periods of time without taking a break. I've noticed that patients tend to really focus in on the screens and look at them intently for quite significant periods of time, longer than, for example, they would look at something that was printed on paper without ever looking up from the information. And that's something that optometrists definitely need to talk to their patients about taking breaks from time to time, looking into the distance so that they can relax their accommodation and relax their convergence. And that should improve the symptoms and make them more comfortable as well. Something that we recommend to our patients is what's called the 20-20-20 rule, which is that every 20 minutes, the patient could look at something at least 20 feet away for a minimum of 20 seconds. So 20-20-20 rule, every 20 minutes, they should look at something that is at least 20 feet away for a 20-second period. That's a good way of getting them to relax accommodation and convergence and look into the distance. There are actually some apps out there where the screen actually goes blank every 20 minutes as a reminder to tell the patient that now it's time to look into the distance and look away from the computer screen for a period of time.
Would you also suggest where a computer screen or a handheld device should be held? Often, for instance, you see it horizontal to the person, often it's below eye level. Would you say there's an ideal?
I'm not sure there is an ideal. I think we've got used to the idea of looking down when we're reading, but that probably related to printed materials and where it was more comfortable to hold the book, or typically something would be on a desk. One of the issues is in terms of the way we often prescribe corrections. For example, for presbyopic patients, we always think about putting the near addition lens in the bottom, because we've got used to this idea of looking down when reading. So it's not necessary that we have to have the screen or the device in a downward gaze, but it's certainly easier in terms of the types of corrections that we have in terms of glasses, that they do hold it in that downward device. And so for presbyopic patients, it may be good to suggest to the patient that they hold it down merely so that they can use the current form of correction more easily.
Mark, do you feel that manufacturers are taking many of these comments into account when developing new innovation?
Unfortunately, I'm not sure that they are. I think they're developing their devices, and I think we're having to learn to adapt to their technologies. And one of the problems is that the technology is changing so fast that it's really quite difficult to keep up with it. I think as eye care practitioners, it's very important that we give our feedback back to the manufacturers, because unfortunately, I don't believe the manufacturers are thinking about things like eye strain and other symptoms when they're developing the devices. I think they're just putting them out there, and then we as optometrists are having to deal with the issues as they come up. So perhaps we as a profession need to be somewhat more proactive in going to the manufacturers, making them aware of the issues, and then perhaps they'll be able to factor them in as they're developing the next generation of devices.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark and David.